And we are talking about prayer. I invite you tonight to open up to the Lord's Prayer. And we'll be taking a look at the Lord's Prayer this evening. And so, when someone invites you to open up to the Lord's Prayer, then of course you immediately go to John 17, which is where, as we've talked before, we would find what we call the Lord's Prayer. For many people, you know, they think of the Lord's Prayer as the Our Father. And we've talked about that in Matthew 6. We've been in Matthew 6 the last number of weeks on Wednesday nights. And we think of that pattern that Jesus gave in Matthew 6. Sometimes we might think of that as the Lord's Prayer, but remember, Jesus never prayed that prayer. Jesus never could pray that prayer. It would be impossible for him to do that. But what Jesus did in Matthew 6 was gave us a wonderful pattern to follow. And so we've worked through that pattern. We've looked at those six requests, three of them about bringing glory to God, the second group of three about being for ourselves. Out of that second group of three, the first one, physical, daily bread, the other two, spiritual. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at what some people would say actually is the real Lord's Prayer, because this is the prayer that Jesus prayed. So when we began our little series on prayer, I knew that I wanted to begin in Matthew 6, and then I knew after that we would want to be in John 17, and I trust we'll be here for a number of Wednesdays together. So we're in John 17. The whole chapter is the Lord's Prayer. We're looking at the first section of it tonight. That'd be the first five verses, and I'll go ahead and read those, and you'll see them on the screen if you want to follow along. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you've given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. And so as we look at this first section of this wonderful prayer, it was kind of thoughtful. I came across a quote, I have it up. It's the greatest prayer, this chapter, that's the greatest prayer ever prayed on earth, and the greatest prayer recorded anywhere in Scripture. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue contrary to that. What do we see in John 17, the Lord's Prayer, as we look at the first section, the first five verses? Well, first of all, number one, Jesus prayed for the Father to be glorified. And that's how he opens up in verse 1, and that's how he ends this first paragraph in verse 5, that the Father would be glorified. Notice verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son." Why? That the Son may glorify you. Focusing on God's glory. And then 5, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." This reminded me of the disciples' prayer, right? So that's that first subpoint there. As Jesus is praying here in John 17, first subpoint, Jesus modeled for his disciples how to pray. Because remember how Matthew 6, our Father, the so-called Lord's Prayer goes? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Notice what Jesus is doing here in verse 1. He's praying, lifting up his eyes to heaven. So that's kind of like "who art in heaven." And he said, "Father." It sounds very much like Matthew 6, 9, the first part, where Jesus said, pray in this way, "Our Father who is in heaven." So Jesus, I think, is modeling to a degree the pattern that he gave, we have recorded back in Matthew 6. Jesus modeled for his disciples how to pray. And then second subpoint, Jesus modeled for his disciples what to pray. Because if you notice again here in John chapter 17, what is Jesus praying for? He's praying, John 17, verse 1, that the Son may glorify you. He's praying for the Father's glory. And what did we see back in Matthew 6? The first request was, hallowed be your name. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting parallel to make, that when we go to here, John chapter 17, and we see the Lord's Prayer, the very beginning of it is praying, Jesus praying for the Father to be glorified, the very thing he taught his disciples in what we sometimes call the disciples' prayer. Okay? So that's John chapter 17, verse 1. Now let's take a look. I'll read it again. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Let's go to verse 2 and verse 3. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father. This is Jesus actually praying. What is he praying? I tried to stay very close to the text. Number two, we see in this prayer that the Father is glorified through the giving of eternal life. So the request Jesus has in verse 1 is that the Father would be glorified. How is the Father glorified? Through the giving, the impartation of salvation, eternal life. Notice again verse 2. That the end of verse 1, that the Son may glorify you too, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. I have it subpoint this way. Eternal life is given by Jesus to those given to Jesus. So the Father gives certain people to Jesus. That's what verse 2 says. And Jesus gives them eternal life. So that to all whom you have given him, Jesus is talking of himself, that he, Jesus, would give eternal life. The Father is glorified as people receive eternal life. Who receives eternal life? Everyone to whom Jesus gives it. To whom does Jesus give eternal life? Everyone to whom the Father gives to Jesus. I don't know if I got those pronouns confused in there. I think I may have. But I hope that that makes sense. It made me think of John chapter 10. I have 27, 8, and 9 up on the screen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And who are these people? My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. So the Father gives people to the Son, and the Son gives them eternal life. And the Father is glorified in that, and that's what Jesus is praying in John 17, verse 2. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So eternal life is given by Jesus to those given to Jesus, verse 2. And then a question might be, well, what is eternal life? And Jesus makes that clear in verse 3 of his prayer. Eternal life is defined by Jesus. Eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son. I read John 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So here we have it very clear that what is eternal life? It's a relationship. And again, I am grateful for the good preaching I've sat under for many years from this pulpit, from our previous pastor. Salvation is a relationship. Salvation is not a decision, it's a relationship. And people who know Christ are forgiven because they have a relationship with Christ. And Jesus is saying that very thing here in the text of John chapter 17, verse 3, that they might know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus prays in his prayer that the Father would be glorified. That's how this first paragraph begins, verse 1 and verse 5. And then number 2, when is the Father glorified? As eternal life is given. It's given by Jesus to those given to Jesus, and it's defined by Jesus. It's having a relationship, knowing the Father and the Son. John 6:37 puts it this way, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. I hope you see that this theme is in many different places. The Father gives people to the Son, and Jesus gives them eternal life, and the Father is glorified through that. And that's John chapter 17, verses 1, 2, and 3, which leaves us with verse 4, our third point. Our first point, Jesus prayed for the Father to be glorified. Number 2, the Father is glorified through the giving of eternal life. And then number 3, the Father is glorified when people accomplish his work. You know, I guess I thought about, I'm trying to use words that are very close to the text. I thought about phrasing that, the Father is glorified when people do his will. And I think that would be just fine. But I want it again. I'm trying to stay with words really close to the text. Jesus said, verse 4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So number 3, the Father is glorified when people accomplish his work. So notice that phrasing. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you've given me to do. And then on to verse 5, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What's being talked about here? Okay. Jesus's hour had come. So Jesus has a time that here comes. Jesus' hour had come to fulfill the reason that he came. All right? And so you say, where is that? Notice that's back in your verse 1. Okay? If you have your Bible open, John 17, verse 1. The very first thing Jesus said was, Father, the hour has come. So what is that a reference to? Subpoint. Jesus' hour had come to fulfill the reason that he came. So his hour had come. This is the reason he came. This is his purpose. That's what verse 1 is saying there, okay? Did Jesus accomplish his purpose? Yes, that's the point. The Father is glorified when people accomplish his work. So Jesus' hour had come, and that's similar, I think, to John 7, chapter 7, verse 30. Remember, they were seeking to seize him, and no man laid his hand on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. That's very similar to John 8:20. No one seized him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Jesus had a very special hour that was to come, and there was a coming hour. You say, what was that? Subpoint. Jesus' hour had come to fulfill the reason that he came. Second point. Subpoint, Jesus' hour had come to die on the cross for our sin. So in verse 4 of John 17, when Jesus says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you had given me to do, what is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about what is about to happen. In verse 1, Father, the hour has come. He's talking about what's referred to in Luke 22:37. I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. So notice the wording there, that this which has been written must be fulfilled in me. And then the end of the text, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. Jesus fulfilled the reason that the Father sent him. Jesus accomplished, we're back to John 17:4. Jesus accomplished the work which the Father had given him to do. So what are we seeing in this first section? That's as far as we'll go tonight. These first five verses of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is praying that the Father would be glorified. And that's certainly something that's good for all of us to pray. What's the second thing we've seen this evening? That the Father is glorified through the giving of eternal life. When people put their faith in Christ, it brings glory to the Father. And you say, who's putting faith in Christ? Everyone to whom Jesus gives eternal life. And who are those people? All of the people whom the Father gives to the Son. That's what Jesus makes clear in his prayer. But not only is the Father glorified as people put faith in Jesus, the Father is glorified as people accomplish the work that he's given them. So as we do God's will, as we accomplish the work that God has given us to do, the Father is glorified. That's the first portion of Jesus' prayer. I hope it'll encourage us to be more cognizant of, yes, I want to glorify the Father. I want to see more people come to know the Lord Jesus. And I want to be faithful in doing God's will, accomplishing what he has for me to do so that I could bring him the glory that he deserves to receive. Let's pray.